My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
802 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. I am broadcasting live from the WFAN studios in New York City. You guys are holding it down back in Baltimore, the Odyssey Studios. So, in years past, we've seen Jose Canseco, Barry Bonds, A-Rod, Alfonso Seriano, and Ronald Cunha all achieve 40-40 seasons. Right now, we're in mid-August, approaching the back end of August 19th, and Shohei Ohtani has 39 home runs, 37 stolen bases. It's almost a shoo-in to go 40-40. But did you guys know that he could do two things this year for the first time? Number one, if he wins the MVP, it'll be the first time in baseball history that a designated hitter has won the National League MVP. Designated hitters are full-time or new to the NL. And he could also be 45-45, which would be Ed, the first player who ever eclipsed that in Major League Baseball history.
And I think he will. He's no signs of slowing down. I remember we talked about this week. What We Learned Today, because I was shocked. We were talking about, two different players, and this came up. And I'm looking at the stats. I'm like, he's second in Major League Baseball behind Elly De La Cruz in stolen bases? Like, what? Yeah. He can pitch, he hits home runs, and he's fast. It's like, the guy is incredible.
And it's so amazing watching him. And I've talked about this. Like, he's going to win the MVP as a DH this year.
Yeah.
I said last year, if you give him the MVP as a pitcher/hitter, it's his award to lose every year because there's nobody that can do what he does. And now he's going to win it as a DH. Of course it's his award every year. It's just going to be up to the voters to say, I don't want him to win it this year, or he has to have a really bad year or get hurt, because if he keeps producing even remotely of what he's doing now, and then you throw in pitching along with it, man, it's his award every single season.
Well, that's because the internet and 24-hour sports sources, everybody knows about Shohei Ohtani. Everybody does. But with him spending his entire career on the West Coast, and how many non-baseball junkies do you think has actually watched Shohei Ohtani?
Not many.
Yeah. I think that's a detriment to not only him, but Major League Baseball. Because if he's in New York, Atlanta,
Baltimore,
anywhere on the East Coast, Baltimore, anywhere over here, then he would have been on TV all the time. Well, people would have been watching him all the time. Very few people on the East Coast want to stay up till 10 o'clock even to watch him.
Yeah, and this is the same thing that affects, the Pacific, it used to be, Pac-12 schools. Mm-hmm. That's why I can never really get a good handle on who's really good at Oregon or USC or whatever, because you never see them play, rarely. It's the same thing with him. I'd love to see him play. I think he's fascinating. Almost never have.
I don't know if there's a West Coast bias, but just being out there, and I was talking to somebody else, like changing your entire schedule for a day-to-day basis to watch a baseball game at 10 a.m.,
yeah.
which it'd that be, routinely happens out there.
For you, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, I have no problem with it, but do people miss some of the earlier games because their lifestyle is different? Your work schedule, you're just getting off, and games are already starting when you're on the West mm-hmm. Coast, and I know that sometimes can happen here. So yeah, you do get some of that. You'd like to think with a player of his caliber, because... And again, I'm a baseball fan, so it's maybe there's some bias in here. When he came to Baltimore, I wanted to see him play. I'm getting tickets. When Barry Bonds came to Baltimore, I got tickets to see him play just because I wanted to see what I believe greatness looked like. Same thing with Mike Trout the first time he came to Baltimore.
A lot of people do that, Jeremy, but if you're not a diehard baseball fan, a 10 o'clock game is not appointment setting. 10 p.m. is not appointment
That's
setting.
That's why I said I'm biased, it's tough
exactly.
to kind of...
Exactly. It's yeah. you because you're a gambler. I because I'm just stupid for baseball. But most people are only going to watch him in those moments when I think we lose a lot by not having him in a time zone where all of America would see him.
Yeah. And, you know, like we're running into these... We have some really special athletes because the same way you're talking about Shohei Ohtani, as soon as Victor Wembanyama wins Defensive Player of the Year, MVP, which all that stuff's coming, it's his award to lose every single year.
Yeah.
Because he is a freak of nature, and that's what Ohtani is. I mean, look how big and fast he is. And it's weird too, because like you see a guy of his caliber, you don't realize how big he is.
He's 6'4".
He's huge.
He's 15. Yeah.
And you know what? The thing I love about him the most, he's outside of his gambling. I'm sorry, that was his interpreter. The thing I love about him the most is he's like, everybody says he's one of the nicest players they've ever met, that he's so respectful to everyone. And I know like that sounds
it's
like
Japanese.
That might be it's different culture.
I've been around that's what you and I'd be if we could barely understand English. It's what people talk.
I had the pleasure of training with the Japanese for a long time, who lived there from Japan. Politeness is a real thing, and respect. They'll kick your ass, but they're very polite.
I saw quite a bit of it this weekend, and there were so many different cultures in San Francisco, which I know we'll talk about, but. The fact of the matter is, like, you see a player of Ohtani's caliber, and you're like, where's the ego? Where's all the other stuff? You know he's got to have some of that, but that's all they've talked about. Any player that wants to come up to him and talk to him, guys want to trade jerseys with him all the time. He's just so willing to do everything, except place his own bets. He has, he had somebody to do that for a while.
Hey, Ed, mm-hmm. Speaking of changing cultures, so my hotel is 3 miles from the studio.
Mm-hmm.
4:30 a.m. my Uber was $53.
Are you kidding me?
I kid you not. $53.
I'm just talking to Rashawn about this. Is what people just don't get. Was the reason I was joking about bad decision. The reason I left is it's so expensive to live there. You need to make 7 figures, no joke, to live comfortably in New York, and I mean that. In Manhattan, definitely. It's just, like I was talking to Rashawn, who was texting me. If my apartment was in New York City, it'd be about $6,000 a month. It's hard for people to even wrap their mind around, but that's what you pay there. $53 for an Uber in the middle of the night. Yep. 3 mile ride.
Yeah. I'm like, what? Got to get to work, though. And that's how it is. You got to get to work. You're paying for an Uber.
Yeah.
That's what you're paying for.
Yeah.
Working for the Uber. That's like some of my meal money. That's a deal.
The E train goes right by there, Rob. It's a couple of bucks.
Rob. I don't know if I'm going down there at 4:30 in the morning.
I'm kind of surprised Rob doesn't have one of those dudes riding a bike, pulling him in a cart like he's, you know.
Well, that's what the Uber was.
Oh, is it?
It wasn't a car. It was a rickshaw.
Faster, driver, faster.
You got sucked, man. You know that, right? You got sucked. And that's why you don't have friends. How to lose to a 6-man rotation before Burns' worst start of his career. Any concern that he's wearing down, we'll talk about that at 8:30. But on the other side is Commissioner's Baltimore.
Yeah, we're going to take a little changing gears here. We're going to shift direction. On the break, I just played San Francisco by the Village People for Jeremy, and his eyes lit up. So
because it was the Village People.
Yes, that's why. I mean, that's and so we're going to talk about his little foray into San Francisco. Yeah, he's going to Providence, Rhode Island next.
And hey, by the way, it was a horse and buggy. Commissioner Baltimore up next, or the Fay.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
The Commish's Baltimore.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready.
Ed Norris covers whatever the f*** is on his big, bad mind.
Do you got your popcorn ready?
Sponsored by Ortho Maryland. Don't spend your time sitting in an ER. If you need orthopedic care in a hurry, Ortho Maryland has walk-in hours 6 days a week. Visit orthomaryland.net for hours and locations.
1057 The Fan.
Has to be 70s with the horn.
Oh!
Disco music. So this must be the Village People song you're talking about.
This is it. This is San Francisco by the Village People.
You know.
I want to hear about our boy's trip to the West Coast. He had never been to California, certainly, obviously never been to San Francisco. But tell people just before we said, why'd you go out there in the first place?
Yeah, so I won a ticket to FanDuel's World Baseball Championship to compete for $500,000 out in Napa. So along with it came a free trip, and because my wife and I had never been to California, we extended it and saw San Francisco for 4 days, but that's where we flew into as well. So just speaking of the trip and going to Napa, like, food was phenomenal, Ed, like off the charts great. I can give you a list of my favorite things I ate while I was there. But so going to Napa, like, obviously you're going to all these vineyards. I was so sick of wine after 2 days. And one of the places they took us was this castle, and the only thing I could tell people is it was like Planet Hollywood, because they had a torture chamber in the castle, and it was built like a real castle. Like, the whole visual of it was great. The wine was just okay, comparatively speaking, to the other places we went. But you can see how expensive everything can get out there. I did not have a bad meal the entire time out there. But staying with Napa real quick, when we went to the FanDuel Championship, I'm looking around the room, And I was telling Ed, I feel this way most of the time when I'm in a room that I'm the most athletic guy. But when you're looking at these nerds you're playing against, you're like, ooh, my. Like, I don't think this guy can name five players in the league, but he can definitely read his algorithm and tell you what he should do and just keep plugging away. So the FanDuel thing, I knew right away it was going to be a very chalky event, meaning everybody was going to play the same three games. They were going to play the Yankees. They were going to play the Astros against the Red Sox with some of the best hitting conditions of the day. And they were going to play Atlanta at Coors. Mm-hmm. And what happened? Each of those games had a player hit two home runs, including the leadoff hitter for the Braves. Austin Riley, who everyone played, hit a home run in that. So, like, I'm looking at it knowing I wasn't going to win any money. And then when we got to San Francisco, just so many good things. My favorite story, Ed, I went to a Japanese bakery, and I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way. But
just tell the story. It's fantastic.
If you've seen the movie Dude, Where's My Car, I walk in, and I'm higher than giraffe testicles. I mean, we're walking around the city taking everything in, and I walk by a bakery, and my fat ass looks over and says, we're stopping here. I think I stopped at every bakery in San Francisco, but this Japanese bakery was off the charts good. I come up, and the lady's like, can I help you? And I said, yeah, I'll take a Blue Mary muffin. And she's like, and what else? And I went, I'll take one of those rolls with raisins in it. And what else? And I'm going, oh, geez. I guess give me one of these fruit tarts, whatever that is. And she goes, and what else? And I go, are you going to keep saying and what else? And then she smiles. She goes, I got you. And then the best part of it was when I was leaving, she said, thank you. Have a good day. And of course, what do I turn around and say? And what else? She says, have a good night, too. It was like one of the coolest parts of that trip, just having interaction with people. Huh? Yeah. She was Japanese. I don't know if that's a Japanese accent or what. Thanks for bringing that up, because that's where some people are going to go.
That's what you were efforting.
But I saw just so many. Oracle Park was amazing. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been there, it's appointment setting. We went to Alcatraz. A lot of walking uphill at Alcatraz, so be ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
There's people outside when you're walking they have their own little grills, like blacktops or whatever you want to call it. And then they're cooking. I guess they're hot dogs wrapped in bacon with peppers, onions, and each one has a price higher than the next one, and you start negotiating with them. But they were good. Had one of those on the way in. Alcatraz was just awesome to see, but you see everything in like 30 minutes that you need to see.
Yeah. What was awesome about Alcatraz?
So, like, just hearing the history of it, because there's Bumpy Johnson was there. There were stories about different killers. Obviously, Al Capone was there. Machine Gun Kelly.
A lot of famous prisoners there.
But the stories of what went on and how people would fight for certain jail cells. There's one side of the prison where the sun comes in, and they're locked in this little cell that's like, I don't know if it's 10 feet by 6 feet or whatever it is. And people would die for that just to get that little bit of sunlight. And they talk about the things that went on behind the scenes and how these guys were treated and things going on.
Could you imagine then?
Yeah.
How they were treated?
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
But it does look like.
Did they talk about Robert Stroud at all?
Yes.
Birdman of Alcatraz?
Yes. So they got into the Birdman. One of the guys was, one of the tour guides was talking about. So you listen to this audio tape. He was talking about how he played chess against the Birdman. And his story is kind of crazy because he did some stupid stuff and got in trouble. And then he couldn't see his birds anymore. Speaking of Stroud. Right. So, but you know me, like I love the crime stuff and serial killers and reading about that. And it's just so funny. Some of the guys that were there, the crimes that they got them on weren't the worst crimes that they were committing. It's just what they could get the stick.
Al Capone.
Yeah, and tax evasion.
Tax evasion, yeah.
So Alcatraz was really cool. But it does, as soon as you're pulling up there and you see it out there in the water, you're like, am I in a movie? It doesn't look real. I couldn't imagine. Like, could you imagine, Rob, driving home where you live and all of a sudden seeing a gigantic prison out in the back river? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's weird, but it's really cool as you're looking at it.
You know what you should see, too? And I mean this. If you're in Atlanta, you should go to the United States Penitentiary. It's like being in a movie. It's like green at night. It's eerie. It looks like an old medieval castle. You ride down this ramp on a bus, and it brings you into the. No, not everybody gets it, but I've heard it's very.
but the other part of this too in San Francisco, and what I really enjoyed about it is there were probably 15 different languages I heard. So many different people. Yeah. I'm going to get to one thing that really annoyed me when we get the shovels, but. The walking, I was texting Ed because my sciatica was acting up and I couldn't walk. And of course, my wife wanted to see all the spots. She took me up Machu Picchu. We didn't even make it to the top. And I said, where are we going? It was on our last day. So yeah. I'm covered in sweat. We've got nowhere to go shower. We got to spend 10 more hours there because of how we booked the flights. But the cool part about it was, again, talking about all these places we ate, there was a place called the Pawn Shop. And it was a really cool, you walk in, you're supposed to bring something to pawn. Mm-hmm. We didn't have anything being tore, so they gave us a gift to take home. It was a magnetic a Golden Gate Bridge to put on our fridge. It was a really cool thing. And then this guy hits a couple buttons on the wall, and the wall just opens up, and you walk into this amazing restaurant where all the food was incredible. And one of the best things I had there, in fact, I ordered it twice, they had pickled vegetables. Now, anybody like pickles or whatever? I love pickles. Everything was in there. It was like curried cauliflower, zucchini. The thing that was in there that I ate and I went,
What kind of pickled vegetables?
Like curried cauliflower, zucchini. There was
like
pickles. Like you're pickling them. You get what I'm saying? Like, so if you can any type of vegetable and you pickle it in some sort of vinegar base or whatever.
And curry?
So the cauliflower was covered in curry and then pickled.
Okay.
So
I mean, it's no different than a dill pickle. They add dill.
Yeah.
Into the vinegar.
So this is, but they had something in there. I bit that and said, what the hell is this? They had pears in there. Mm-hmm. They were pickled pears. I ate about 50 of those effing things. I regretted the next morning.
Pear?
It's still one of the best things I've ever eaten in my entire life. And I ate about 10 of them before I told my wife, I'm not sure if I like it because it's sweet. And it's bitter, and it feels like it's just dancing on your taste buds.
Did you eat a pack of pickled peppers?
I did picked up a pack of pickled peppers. And then I also, like, when we were in Napa, I found these white truffle potato chips. Mm-hmm. We had a butter flight. So it was bread and different types of butter. Yeah, you get a flight of, like, alcohol or beer or whatever. There's flights of spaghetti now. So we go into this restaurant, and, I mean, it's just crazy. We tasted these chips, and I told my wife, I said, these are the best chips I've ever had. And we looked at ordering them online. It's like $50 for like six bags that get shipped here from Spain. But they were white truffle potato chips, and they were just amazing. And then we went to this Italian restaurant in Napa and a French restaurant. Food's off the charts good, but at this Italian restaurant, I had spaghetti Sophia Loren. Apparently the chef here on Sophia Loren's 80th birthday made her this.
Yeah.
And it's so simple. It was just spaghetti, a little al dente the way it's supposed to be. It was boiled in tomato water. And then they blister these tomatoes and cook them up and put them on there. And then they give you this sauce, a Calabrian sauce that you can dip it in. And they tell you, try it without the sauce before you get to it.
Was it Calabrian sauce?
Calabrian. What did I say? Calabrian?
Was it hot?
Not really.
They make great peppers in Calabria.
So really grow. It was a little spicier than you're used to, but it's one of the best dishes I've ever eaten in my life. And it was just so simple. It's just spaghetti. Yeah.
Food cooked well is delicious. San Francisco has some of the best food in the country. It's like New York, San Francisco, I think Vegas.
I've never eaten somewhere
that has the best food you're ever going to get.
So lastly on this was the homeless stuff.
What I wanted to hear.
I did see a homeless guy crap right in the middle of the sidewalk, and then some businessman almost step into it. I was trying to run into a CVS to grab a 5-hour energy, and my wife's like, oh, you got 2 minutes. And I walk in, I see the line's long, but then I see something else. It's a woman screaming at the top of her lungs, laying on the ground, to which a security guard picks her up and throws her out the front. And then she starts cussing him. He grabs her by her backpack and just basically suplexes her back on the ground. Like, screw it. You're going to be in the store screaming. We walk down Chinatown. There's a homeless guy screaming at the top of his lungs that he's starving.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm talking like he's in so much pain and yelling. Like, you don't want to go help him. You want to run from him. It's scary. Like, and then on top of it, too, the last one that I saw was the real, like, some crazy stuff out there, man, with people. There was one section where there was like 40 homeless people around a corner. And as I was saying to somebody else, like, I don't ever want to walk into that situation. Not that I fear those people, but you've got
to. But you should. You got to be smart. And now a lot of them have severe mental illness.
Yeah.
They're dangerous. They shouldn't be in the street. I mean, if you in your right mind, would you be living over a grate eating garbage?
No.
No.
I mean, when I could avoid them, I do.
Yeah.
If I could avoid, I do.
But because if I were going
to. Ed said, you don't know.
Yeah,
you know, what state of mind they're in? It's not like you're looking down at them. It's more for self protecting yourself.
It's a good example. It's like they painted a picture of what woke has destroyed, because they've taken it to the next level, and now you're destroying a beautiful city. Because I've been to San Francisco a bunch. Because I told you, my ex-wife is from out there. We go back all the time to see family. I've been there a ton of times. It was always like this. Not like this.
Yeah,
like this.
The other part of that, Rob, before we step out, was like, if I were going to be homeless and eat out of the trash, San Francisco is where I would eat, as the food was all good. But like, I would love to go back again. I had that good of a time, even though I was in pain the entire time walking, but was a really, really incredible trip.
Shovels at 8:45, but on the other side, Brandon Hyde, right before Corbin Burns started, talked about bringing up someone from the minors to possibly go to the six-man rotation. Then Burns goes out and has the worst game of his career. Are you concerned that Burns may be wearing down? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 8:33 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Orioles took a split for a four-game series with the Boston Red Sox. If you think you get a split, you probably think Corbin Burns is going to win one of those games. He did not. In fact, he gave up a career high, 8 runs, career high, 10 hits in a game. And before the game, we had word that Cade Povich was in Baltimore or coming to Baltimore. There was no move made, so he wasn't on the roster yet. And this is what Brandon Hyde had to say about his rotation before the game.
We'd like to give these guys as much of a break as possible. We could go. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But we feel like, especially Al, you know, Al threw more than he's ever thrown before last start. We're getting in a spot in the schedule where a lot of guys are getting up there in innings and not used to it. And so anytime we give a guy a break, we're gonna, or give an extra day or two, we're going to.
Now, Jeremy, he said that right before Corbin Burns' start. And as you heard, he wasn't fully committed to making this decision. Wasn't fully committed yet. Right after the start, they announced that Cade Povich was put on a roster, Brian Baker would sit down, and he would start Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of wonder, guys, whether Hyde and company were seeing some things, not just from Al, but from Burns. You know, this is the first year in Corbin Burns' career since his rookie year, 2018, that he doesn't have more strikeouts than any pitch.
Kind of interesting. Sometimes you see that with pitchers as they're getting older, the numbers go down, you pitch more to contact. To take the argument side that something is wrong with Burns, because I don't think there is something.
I don't think wrong in terms of injury.
Yeah. But he's given up 15 runs combined in his last 3 starts. Now, that includes the 8 runs on Friday, which obviously is going to change things. But, you know, he had a quality start, gave up 3 runs against Tampa Bay. He went 5 innings and gave up 5 runs, but 4 of them were earned. But to your point, only 4 strikeouts in the game. At the end of July, his ERA was 2.47. Now it's 3.10 after his last 3 starts. So, yeah, I think there's some level of concern, but I don't think he's broken. I don't think anything's wrong. This could be just kind of like happenstance that all of a sudden they're calling up Cade to push everybody back one, and he has a terrible start, or maybe they saw something and want to give him a little extra day.
I'm not of the opinion of happenstance, Ed.
No, it's that's not a strategy. It's not a good way to run things. No, the reason I give him so much leeway in these things though is it's not a good situation. So you've got to figure something out here. You know,
give who leeway?
The team in general. Okay. I mean, just the team, because, you know, people, everybody's bitching about this stuff, and they're bitching, even Corbin Burns now. It's just so ridiculous. But you think about, you know, watch some, I encourage people to watch some national shows when they're talking about the Orioles. They're talking about the Orioles being devastated by the injury bug this year. It's amazing they're winning this many games because they've lost 3 starting pitchers. Like, what are we talking about here? It's incredible what they're doing. And they got to figure something out, be it Povich or, let's say, Batista. Suarez, I mean, you know, you got to figure out a rotation. And you can't be, I mean, really, they got to light up with the criticism a little bit.
Well, this for me is not even a criticism. This is an observation. The manager talked about before the game that he will see if they're going to go to a 6-man rotation.
Yes.
Your best pitcher has his career worst start, and instantly, they decide they're going through a 6-man rotation. I think they saw something in their guys that suggested they needed to be stretched out a little bit because they might get worn down, including Corbin Burns.
This is what I'm talking about, though. It's like they've got to figure something out right now. And that's why I'm like, I give Hyde and the team and Elias a lot of leash because they've done an incredible job building a roster, and I think he's done a good job managing this team. So, like, it's, you know, pump your brakes, man. It's like,
Yeah, I get frustrated, too, with some of the things that go on and just pointing the fingers at these guys with, you know, this didn't work, that didn't work. I don't mind all this stuff that's going on now where people are like, why aren't you using this guy more? Why aren't you? Like, I want him to start using guys less to prepare for the postseason. You're going to be in the postseason. I know everybody wants to win the division, so do I. But for me, the key is getting in and being able to set your rotation up the way you want and being healthy. The Orioles are the one team that sounds like they're going to get three really important players back in a month or so. Mm-hmm. And how much can they ramp up before the postseason? Are they going to be okay? And Grayson Rodriguez, Danny Colom, and of course, Jordan Westberg. So all of those guys, that's a huge get.
Think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, Colom is, you're talking about needing somebody right now. Really need him back. Westberg, I mean, obviously it'd be a pleasure to get him back. But Colom is, you're talking about a critical need.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I'm broadcasting live from the WFAN studios in New York City. Ed and Jeremy holding it down in Baltimore. I think this, when you see Albert Suarez, very successful, no earned runs in the last 17 and two-thirds innings pitched. Those were his last three starts, by the way. I think there's something to be said about giving these guys extra rest. Cade Povich was sit down, and I know the team was criticized for that. He has a great game. And you sit him back down, he's not a reliever. And if we're already doing a six-man rotation, you got a day off and all these other things, it's going to be a while before he pitches on this level again. I'd send him down, too, to get the extra bullpen help. He's got the option. Sit him down, get the bullpen help, bring him back up. It's that simple. But I see a huge benefit from starting these guys or putting these guys on a six-man rotation because you see, you know, a lot of them is helping them out a little bit. And when it was brought up to Corbin Burns after the game, he didn't stiff arm it either, Jeremy. He seemed to embrace the idea of a six-man rotation.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're giving them just a little bit extra rest before we get into the postseason. And I know these guys, oh, they're getting paid tons of money. They're Warriors and all that. But they still go through, you know, pains and different types of injuries and things that they're going to try to pitch through. Like, I've seen a couple times this year where I didn't think Corbin Burns had his best stuff. And before you know it, he's gone six innings, given up two runs.
He gets out of it,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, he's done a really good job. So in the past three games, you can probably point it out and say he hasn't been Corbin Burns-like.
He hasn't.
But you know, and the same thing, like, that's why, talking about Albert Suarez, he's looked better in his last three starts than Corbin Burns, but I'm telling you, game one, game, I don't care which game it is.
Oh, no,
I want Burns starting.
Discussion.
Yeah, with Suarez, I think, can help you by so much more being in the bullpen with his capabilities of throwing upper 90s.
Yeah, Jeremy's right. People say these guys are Warriors, they get paid to play. You know, GMs and managers get paid to make decisions. And because of that, the decision I'm making is a six-man rotation right now.
Yeah, and you know what? I always look at people's past, you know, your track record over an extended period of time. Like, do we trust Mike Elias and Sigma Dell and Eve and all the people that work? Yeah, I do. Yeah, and Hyde, all of them. Trust them a lot. They've taken this horrible team that suffered, the fans suffered for a decade, and you made them to one of the best teams in the game, and it's sustainable. Why would you not just, you know, say, okay, let me see how this works?
What's trending at 9 o'clock? Has sports become more about narratives than the actual games? We'll talk about that then. But on the other side, Ed Norris, we're giving out shovels.
Yes! I'm going to give them out to my, you know, team of my youth, New York Mets. Just when you think they couldn't make a dumber decision, they make another one.
Hey, be careful. I'm up here, man. I don't want them taking it out on me, what you're saying about them. Funny that you pick now to throw the Mets a shovel.
I'll send you a couple bars to walk in with a Yankee jersey, see how it goes.
If you got a shovel, I'm not wearing a Yankee jersey. If I lose a bet, I'll renege on that bet. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057 The Fan. Shovels next. Time to give us shovels this morning. Ed Norris, who gets your shovel?
The New York Mets. You can hit that shovel. There we go.
Ew!
The New York Mets. My team when I lived in New York forever. Love the Mets. Used to love the Mets.
You still
boy,
do.
They. Oh, sure, I've got some affection for them. But it's like when you know. It's like when you remarry. You don't hate your ex-wife, but you have a new love. You know, mm-hmm. You're like, you know, I love the Orioles now. Anyway, on August 15th, the Mets play the Oakland A's. In Citi Field. And you know how it was camp day. So there was a bunch of kids there with their camp counselors that their parents entrusted them to go see a baseball game and go see the kids, probably their favorite team, the New York Mets. Well, you want to guess who threw out the ceremonial first pitch?
Oh, you got to give him that Huck poo and spit on that thing. You get me?
Yes. Hawk to a girl. Yes. Haley Welch. I have nothing against Haley Welch. I don't begrudge her fame. And
she's
whatever
awesome, by the way. She nothing, really is.
Absolutely. Like, she's been with Bill Maher. She's thrown at the first pitch for the Mets now. She's getting $40,000 to go to make appearances. It's amazing. But could you have a little bit of a, not so much of a tin ear, New York?
It's camp day.
You think they're not going to ask their parents if they don't know who she is? They probably do because they're like 11. They know who she is. You think if they don't, they're not going to ask their parents? What does Hawk Tua mean? What does that mean, Mom?
Ed, in today's world, it may have been the parents asking the kids who Hawk Tua was.
I think you're right. But yeah. Still.
And I told Ed, Rob, I don't know if you saw it, Anthony Edwards had a shirt on the other day that said, if she don't Hawk Tua, I don't talk to her.
Anthony Edwards. Hawk Tua girl on camp day. Come on. Again, this is what I always say. Did nobody at that meeting say, excuse me, like, I don't know if this is a great idea.
For any day, for that
matter.
And Jeremy, who gets your shovel this morning?
My shovel goes to, I guess, travelers. So I was asking whether or not, I said this to Ed earlier this morning, am I the a-hole? Because I get frustrated, and I was so angry, and I was high as a kite for most of the time. Now look, I'm on vacation. I'm going to enjoy myself. And I'm walking around the city. There are so many people that see something, as tourists do, and just stop. I got to stop. I'm walking through the mall. Oh, I wonder if I want to go into this store. Let me just stop. There was a guy walking. There's this little area where people take pictures with a giant heart that was made on the steps. I don't know if the guy was from Albania or where he was from. Stops right in front of me on the steps. I almost fall down the stairs. I mean, I'm talking like complete stop, and he wants to take a photo right there. So he's telling his family to turn around. I had two people. And look, there's nothing wrong with doing that.
Yes, there is.
Well, I'm just saying, like, everybody can get caught looking at something. Yeah. But if you turn around and realize, oh, I almost ran into this person because I just stopped when I felt like stopping, then you turn around and you say, oh, man, I'm sorry. I didn't see you there. Mm-hmm. I had two people do it. And I don't know if this is something, and I don't want to say foreigners because people are going to take it the wrong way, but, like, Europeans, Asians, like, when I was in Germany, this stuff happened all the time. People would push you in your back to get on a train.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm looking at all these people just stopping. I'm like, what the hell are you stopping for? Like, if we did this on the road, like, people would be pissed off. You're trying to get around them. I had six people holding hands, walking down the sidewalk next to each other.
Yeah.
And I'm going, well, where am I supposed to go? Do I go stand in the street until you guys get by?
Yeah.
And they acted like I was giving them I was in the wrong. So I don't know if I'm the a-hole for people stopping and wanting to, like, no. You can just imagine. I got to say this. Asian people love taking pictures of everything. Everything. Wherever you're going on tour, like, if you're a tourist, this, they take pictures of everything. My wife does too, which drives me nuts. I said, we'll delete those in 3 weeks. But, like, just stop and boop, 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 taking pictures of everything there, not acknowledging anyone being around them. It just drives me insane. Sorry.
My shovel goes to, I'll just call him Twitter Man. He has a weird name, and I'm afraid if I say it, I'll end up saying something that I'm not supposed to, because it's weird, weird names. All right, this started off yesterday. Someone tweeted out the video of Brandon Hyde said he's losing the locker room. He's losing the clubhouse. So I didn't see the original, but someone retweeted it to me and asked me, what did I think? And part of my answer started off with absolutely not, and I went on to give this my explanation. Well, this dude took exception to my absolutely not. How can you say absolutely not? You're not saying there's a possibility. Number one, and I responded to him, the person who asked me because he knows I'm actually in the clubhouse. So if I mealy-mouthed, it looks as if I don't know what's going on. My perspective is the same relationship that Hyde has had with the players when the cameras weren't rolling, he still has now. The guy still had the same sense of urgency when he calls a meeting to get to the meeting on time. They still put in the same work. There's nothing that indicates when the cameras aren't rolling that he's lost the clubhouse. To take 20 seconds of a 2-minute reel and say that's your example, then I can say absolutely not. Well, fast forward to today, when we talked about it earlier, that same guy on Twitter says, you guys love to misrepresent people. I did not even see the video until this morning. Stop there. So when you commented to me yesterday, you hadn't even seen the video.
But he knew the answer.
You had to see. So to say that we're wrong, well, I'm wrong because I said people love creating narratives. You are the perfect example of creating a narrative because you commented on something you didn't see. That's the definition of creating a narrative. You didn't mention no facts. You don't. So me saying absolutely not based on two things: seeing the video and being in the clubhouse. You challenged when you're not in the clubhouse, and at that time you didn't see the video. I don't get people, man. I just don't.
Well, and
how do you comment on something you haven't seen? That's like saying, "Hey, Rob, did you see the second inning of the Yankees Tigers game?" No, I didn't pick it up to the eighth inning. So I'm gonna comment on something I didn't see. I didn't see the game in the second inning. I can comment on the eighth and ninth, but I didn't see the second.
Rob, the thing that pissed me off was the one guy that was sent you a message talking about Adley Rutschman not playing, saying that, "Oh my God, James McCann got hit in the face and he played the next day. Adley's got a bad back and he can't play. I've had a bad back before and I go to work every day." It's like, stop it. Yes. I hate when people try to compare injuries and say, this is what this guy's dealing with. You don't know the extent of it.
Try to get in the catcher stands with a bad back. Try to swing a bat with a bad back.
People don't even know what it means. I have a bad back. It requires surgery. It's so bad because I can't walk. It could be anything. People just, they're so ignorant sometimes. It drives me crazy.
And I made fun of Ed the entire time, and now God's taking it out on me because I'm going to have the same thing.
Guess who couldn't walk in San Francisco?
Jeremy Carr's Daily Line at 9:30, but on the other side, what's trending? We're going to stay with this. Has sports become more about narratives than the actual games? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.